the book of Joshua, chapter 11. I love how the Holy Spirit works. Nola had one of the songs that had the word conquest in there. That's pretty much the theme of the book of Joshua, the conquest of the land. Praise God. Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11, we're going to be looking at verse 15. Joshua 11:15. Joshua is speaking. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua 11:15. He said, "As the Lord had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses." Amen. That's what you call finishing the job. Amen. Nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded. You know, one day soon, we're going to give an account unto the Lord for our life. That day of accountability is something that none of us can escape from. Each one, each man, each woman must give an account of their life. And Joshua's testimony was that nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded. Oh God, help us to be able to say the same. Amen. Now, number one, God's commands don't always come directly from God. I've known people in the past who, well, if the Lord don't tell me, then I don't do it. But you know what? This commandment was passed on down by Moses to Joshua. And Joshua was not so egotistical. He said, well, if God don't tell me, then I'm not listening. Because God uses people. We learn the Word of God from our Bible. We learn it from preachers, and we learn it from other Christians. Sometimes God speaks to you through a brother or sister in the Lord. Amen. Number two, Moses' work was unfinished. It had to be passed on by Joseph. Sometimes we don't finish our work. Sometimes we're in the middle of trying to finish it, and God says, I'm going to pass that work on to someone else, and I'm going to bring you home. David wanted to build the temple, and God said, you can't do it, but your son will. Sometimes we start a work, and sometimes that work has to be passed on. We don't always get to finish the work that we began, but we do what we can do by the grace of God. We endeavor to finish it, and if God says somebody else has got to take over, then that's what happens. Number three, Joshua also monitored what Moses had commanded, that it was obeyed. You know, you cannot say, I have done everything the Lord commanded, if you're not checking up on some things. Amen? You know, self-check, other checks around you, making sure. A good example of that, if you want to just flip over to chapter 22, this is the story of three of the tribes of Israel. In chapter 22, Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and half of the tribe of Manasseh. See, these guys, when they were going in to take the land, these two and a half tribes said, we kind of like the plot of ground on this side of Jordan. And Moses had told them, well, if you want this part of Jordan instead of the other side, you can. But that in no way alleviates your responsibility to fight for possessing the land. And so we read in 22 that Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of the tribe of Manasseh and said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days up to this day and have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. In other words, you did go in and you did help them fight and dispossess the land. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren as promised them. Now therefore return and go to your tents and to the land of your possessions which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan, but take careful heed to do the commandments of the laws which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, to hold him fast, hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. And so we see that Joshua was monitoring that these 2.5 tribes did what they were supposed to do, and then he blessed them and said, you guys, you did it. You did what you were supposed to do. And sometimes to leave nothing undone that's done is we not only have to make sure we do our part, but we make sure that the people that we've passed on the baton to are doing their part as well. Amen? So we see in the book of Joshua that the Torah, or the books of Moses, the first 5 books of the Bible, somehow represent the Old Testament. And then the book of Joshua represents the New Testament, or moving into the Promised Land, right? One day we're going to move into the Promised Land, aren't we? And so we see that the book of Joshua is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law, that they are moving into the Promised Land as a type and shadow. Joshua's about conquest, and as I said, Nola had that in one of her songs today. And they soon learned that conquest was not a physical fight. In the spirit realm, conquest is not a physical fight. You don't put up your dukes to the devil and say, let's get after it, do we? We understand that it's not a physical fight, it's a spiritual fight. And a good example of that is the Battle of Jericho and the Battle of Ai in the book of Joshua. When they went into the Promised Land, the greatest military stronghold that's ever been built in ancient days was the city of Jericho. The walls were so wide that you could run a team of horses, a whole team of horses, on the top of the wall. That's how thick the walls were. It was virtually impenetrable by those days' standards. But God made the walls fall flat. Amen. As the children of Israel marched around it as commanded by Joshua, and on the 7th day shouted and blew the trumpets, the walls of Jericho fell flat, and they took the land. Then they came to a city called Ai. It was much smaller. It wasn't nearly as impenetrable. And they didn't even send in all of the troops. They said, oh, we don't need to send that many in. We can just send a few in. And yet, they lost the battle. And the reason they lost the battle was because there was a guy named Achan who had disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. The commandment of the Lord was, when you go into Jericho, don't take anything. Burn it all. But he saw the beautiful Babylonian robes. He saw the silver. And he took it and he hid it under his tent. And he thought, God doesn't see. So we understand that to win our battles requires holiness and obedience to the Word of God. To win our battles requires holiness and obedience to the Word of God. Now, when they went in to take the land, they were told to take it a little at a time. Because if they just went in and just moved all the way across, killing everything in sight, that Moses said that the wild beast would fill the void, and then they would have wild animals running loose. Nobody wants to get eaten by a bear or a lion or a tiger or whatever, right? Oh my, yeah. And so it is with our conquest, that we take it a little at a time. You can't just defeat the enemies, you have to possess the land. You have to possess the land. And in a spiritual connotation, I have to possess what I have dispossessed. Or moved out of my way. I have to move in and live there. Amen? Every place the sole of their feet were to tread, he said, are yours. So if you are brave enough to walk there, God says you can have it. Amen. Now, let's flip back to chapter 1. You can't really talk about the book of Joshua without reading an excerpt of chapter 1. It's pretty exciting. Let's just look at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to you, to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As it was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that it is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in this passage, the first thing God does is encourage Joshua. If you're discouraged this morning, be encouraged. God is for you, not against you. Be encouraged. The second thing he does is he defines his responsibility. You are to not only take the land, you're going to meditate on the word. Amen. The only way we're going to take the land is the word. We're going to meditate on the word. We're going to keep the word in us. And then he assures him of God's continued presence. I am with you, says the Lord. Aren't you glad we're not doing this Christian thing alone? Aren't you glad Jesus said, lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the earth? Aren't you glad that a twofold cord is not easily broken, and Jesus and me can do all things? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Joshua is a type of Christ. In fact, Jesus' name is actually Yahshua, the name Joshua. And so you could say that this is the book of Jesus. And you wouldn't be wrong. That's what it is. Now, there are people, cults, if you want to call them that, or certainly brothers that are deceived in today's age. They call it the Apostolic Reformation. And they believe that we're going to conquest the earth by just political Christian means, and we're going to convert everybody to Christianity, and then we can present the earth to Jesus, and then he will come back. Forget the Bible says in the last days perilous times will come, and there'll be a falling away, and men will be lovers of all, you know. So we understand that we do not conquest the land by physical or political means. And in reality, it's really even not about the physical land. See, Jesus is going to take care of that. That's just rubbish. I didn't get saved to be a politician. I got saved to be an image of Christ in the world. Amen? And so we understand that our spiritual Joshua, Jesus, he will come and take the land. But the book of Joshua is about me taking possession of my spiritual land. And what is that? Well, Ephesians tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, spiritual wicked in heavenly places. And so we understand that the real battleground is not a plot of land over on the other side of the world, that the battleground for me is my mind. I am to possess the land. I am to run out the demons. I am to have the mind of Christ. I am to possess the land. And in Ephesians 6, it tells us that we have our loins girt about with truth. What does that mean? I am honest. I have integrity. I am truthful. Sometimes we can make things so spiritual that we forget what it means. I don't tell lies. I am a man of integrity. I am, when you see me, you know I'm going to tell you the truth. The second thing he tells us in the armor of God is that we have a breastplate of righteousness. We live in a world where the end justifies the means, but it ought not be for a child of God. We are to do what is right. We are to be righteous. If we are going to conquer the land, you know, the Ten Commandments was about outward actions, but when Jesus came, his Sermon on the Mount was about the motives behind those actions. It is written, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, he that looks at a woman with lust commits adultery in his heart. It's about the mind. It's about what you meditate on. It's about your thought life. Amen? The third armor is peace. Having my feet prepared to be peaceful. I can't believe the neighbor did that. I'm going to go over there and give him a piece of my mind. Not that kind of peace. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to pray for those that despitefully use me. I'm going to be a man of peace and not a man of war. I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to go the second mile. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to be a peacemaker. The fourth aspect of the armor is faith, the shield of faith. You cannot please God without faith, and you have to please God. Otherwise, everything we do as a child of God is meaningless on the day that our works are judged. Everything has to be done by and through faith. Doesn't matter if you give $1,000 to a church or $1,000,000. You're not giving in faith. It means nothing. Everything has to be done by faith. And so faith becomes our shield. It protects us against the lies of the devil. The devil will say to you, well, you're not a good Christian. You did this or you did that. And so we put up the shield of faith. I am what I am by the grace of God. And if I fail today, I will be better tomorrow. I walk by faith and not by sight. We have the helmet of salvation, and it's interesting that the helmet goes over the mind. And this is where the devil loves to attack. He loves to tell you, you didn't get saved. If you were saved, you wouldn't act like that. If you're a Christian, everybody knows you're a hypocrite, that church. Why don't you just stay home? He's such a liar. And so we put on the helmet of salvation. Like the old gospel hymn says, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. I remember when I walked that aisle. I remember when I bowed at that altar. I remember when Jim Mallard opened his Bible and led me in the sinner's prayer. I remember when I got my first Bible. I remember when I began to read about Jesus. I remember I was there, devil. I have the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. How many of you saved this morning? Hallelujah. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus had to memorize Scripture. Jesus did. He said, well, He is the Word. He did not come into His own. Bible says he learned obedience through the things he suffered. He was all God, but he was all man. And I suspect at a young age, he began to crawl up some homemade bookcase and pull down a scroll of Deuteronomy and read it. He had to read it. He had to memorize it, because you don't go to spiritual warfare at your Bible reading time. You go to spiritual warfare at another time. And you can't go home and say, wait a minute, let me get my concordance. You got to have the Word in you so the Word will come out of you. In computer programming, they have a GIGO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. And what comes out is whatever you put in. You can put garbage in your mind, or you can put the Word of God in your mind, and whatever you put in is what comes out. And Jesus studied the book of Deuteronomy, and when he was being tempted, led away by the Spirit of God, not the devil, to be tempted in the wilderness, he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. He quoted the Word. It was his sword against the enemy. He was taking the land. The enemy came to take the land from him. But he did not let the enemy take the land from him. He conquered the land. He quoted the Word of God, and he won the victory. And if Jesus had to read the Word and memorize it, don't think that you're going to have success in conquering the battlefield of the mind without reading the Word, memorizing it, and having it in your spiritual weapons. Now, many people quote these and stop there, but Paul went on to say, though he didn't tie it to a part of an armor, in Ephesians 6, he also said, praying in the Spirit always. If you're going to win spiritual battles, you better start praying in the Spirit always. You better be prayed up. You don't know when the devil's going to come. You don't know what tactics he's going to have. In the garden, it said the serpent was the most deceitful of all the beasts that God made. And the devil is full of tricks. He knows your weakness. He knows your blind side. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? You need to pray in the Spirit. And the next thing he said is watching with perseverance. Watching. Recognizing. You know, I can see not only things coming in my life, I can see it in other people's lives. And I will say, sometimes I just pray for them. I seldom say anything. But if I do, I would say, you know, I heard you say this, and it sounds like you better watch this area of your life. You know, because we see pride in other people. We see lust. We see greed. We see envy. We see anger. We see these things. We don't always see them in our life. That's why we need to be watching with perseverance. We need to watch ourselves. We need to watch our brothers and sisters. We need to pray for one another, because there is a war going on. And I don't know about you, but I want to take the land. I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to have victory. I want to say, as Joshua said, nothing undone of all that the Lord has commanded me. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And so I don't just watch, I watch with perseverance. That means I don't get tired of watching. I don't get tired of praying. I don't get tired of reading my Bible. I got to keep going and keep on going and keep on going. Persevering, not quitting, not giving up, not get frustrated. Persevere, keep going. We all remember the little child books about the little train that said he could, and he kept going and going when other big trains, and though they weren't the great big steam engines, he just kept going. He wouldn't quit. He wouldn't quit. Or the rabbit and the turtle, the tortoise and the hare, and though he wasn't the fastest, he kept going. And I'm here to tell you, church, perseverance is underrated. The devil can't stop you if you won't quit. Hallelujah. It don't matter if you don't know as much as the pastor. It doesn't matter if you're not the greatest prayer. Don't quit. Keep going. If you don't quit, God won't quit. He loves perseverance. He loves it. Perseverance is faith with a ribbon tied on top. Because you don't quit when you got faith. Well, Lord, I'm this and I'm that, and I'm weak here and I'm weak there, but I'm not quitting. That's faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the mind is the battleground. The mind is the area that I have to conquer. I am Joshua. The land is before me. You know, sometimes as Christians, especially if you've been a Christian for a while, you have areas that you've compromised in. You have strongholds. You have besetting sins. And the Lord's put his finger on a few times, and finally you get to the place where you go, well, God understands I'm just weak in that area. Now, what would have been if Joshua said, well, the Lord understands that area over there, I don't think he wants me to conquer it because, you know, we tried and we failed. We failed AI, and, you know, and Achan messed us up, and so we're just going to just take a trip around AI and we'll just go conquer some other ground. God wants every area of your mind to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You are not allowed to cop out of your spiritual strongholds. You are required to take the land. Amen. Now, I mentioned earlier about possessing the land. Don't try to be Jesus all at once. You're not that good, and neither am I. Just take one area at a time. Whatever that area is that you're having trouble with, your thought life, your temper, slothfulness, and work on one area. You've got to dispossess the land, and then you've got to possess it. You don't pull weeds without planting flowers. What did the Bible say? And Jesus said that when a demon is ran out, if it's not filled, that he'll come back with seven more. We're talking about spiritual things this morning, where the rubber meets the road. And if you dispossess the devil out of one area of your life, you better fill it with the Word of God. You better possess the land. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I pull the weeds and I plant the flowers. What we plant is what grows. I'm just going to wait for that one to sink in. What do we plant in our mind? What we watch on television, what we listen to, who we talk to, who we have fellowship with. What I plant is what grows. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is coming soon, so we must ask ourselves, have I possessed all of the land? Have I done it? Can I say what Joshua said? Nothing undone have I left undone of all that the Lord commanded me. What did God command? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Brother Roger, you tell them we all have to be equal with God this morning? That's what I'm telling you, because that's what God said in His Word. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So that statement, thought it not robbery, basically means had the audacity to believe he could do it. And if Jesus, yeah, he was the Son of God, but again, he was all man too. He's our big brother, and he taught us how to do it. Now, this is where it gets a little uncomfortable, because you don't get the mind of Christ without acting like Jesus did, and he went up to the Mount of Olives and prayed all night long. This is not for wimpy Christians. This is a message for the rest of us that want to have the mind of Christ, that want to possess the land. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to make life-changing things in our life if we're going to defeat that stronghold and take the land. Now, our mind is large territory. Just like Israel. This is not Israel today. He said all the way to the Euphrates. We're talking about large territory. You see, our mind in the spirit realm is a lot bigger than we think. I mean, they're developing robots with artificial intelligences. They take up, you know, multi-story buildings to try to do what this thing God made 6,000 years ago can do. There's a lot of rooms in this house. And many of them need cleaning out, need washing in the blood of Christ, renewing by the Word of God. And so, there are seven questions I need to ask myself. This is your checkup from the neck up. To quote, what's that motivational speaker? Zig Ziglar. Checkup from the neck up. Number one, have I sinned the sin of Achan? Let's just look, we talked about it. Let's just look at that, chapter 7, verse 21. We talked about him burying the stuff under his tent. 7:21. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. When I saw. The Bible says that all sin falls into three categories: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Achan is a testimony to that. When I saw. Now, have I sinned the sin of Achan? What is the sin of Achan? The sin of Achan is not necessarily that I saw it and that I coveted it and that I took it. The bigger sin of Achan is that he was stupid enough to think that he could hide it from God. And there are Christians today that have things in their mind that nobody knows, and somehow they think that God can't see it. God can see through the earth to where Achan buried what he took, and God can see in every room of your mind. And he knows what's in there. Quit playing games with God and get right with God in Jesus' name. Have I sinned the sin of Achan? Number two. Have I fought for my brother's land? We talked about the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of Manasseh, who, though they were not going to be in the land that they were fighting for, they fought and helped their brothers fight for their land. Sometimes the very reason we have strongholds in our life is because we get so wrapped up in our own weaknesses, we forget to pray for one another. And if you will start taking the responsibility, yes, you are your brother's keeper. Cain asked the question. I'm answering it for you. You are your brother's keeper. We are to pray for one another. We are to edify one another. We are to carry each other's burdens. We are to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you will start fighting your brother's battles, you would be surprised what kind of victory you would have in your own. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And so, have I fought for my brother's land? If you're not doing that, make a point to know what burden someone is carrying and help pray for them. So number one, have I sinned the sin of Achan? Number two, have I fought for my brother's land? Number three, have I taken responsibility for possessing all of my land? And I said this earlier, sometimes we cop out by saying, well, God understands I'm weak in that area. God may understand it, but that does not excuse it. I have to take responsibility for possessing my land. I can't have a cop out. I have to say, if I don't do this, it won't get done. The preacher can do a lot of things for you, but he cannot win your spiritual battles, and he cannot fight for that area in your mind. You have to run the devil out of that area. You have to say no to the devil every day. Number four, am I focusing on territory one at a time? And again, I mentioned this earlier. The old adage, Rome wasn't built in a day. You're not going to have the mind of Christ. You know, you hear this message, you go, oh, my, Brother Roger inspired me. I'm going to have the mind of Jesus. And you try five different areas of your life and fall flat on your face. Just take one area at a time. And you know which one it is. It's the one the Holy Spirit's putting his finger on this morning. That's where you start. And you'll be surprised to learn, I told you that it's big land, right? Right now, you may think of two or three areas of your life, but when you conquer this area, you'll find you got five more you didn't even know about. It's a big land. So am I focusing on one territory at a time? Number five, am I possessing the land that I have taken? When I have this void where I've taken the land, what do I fill it with? What do I do? Sometimes it may be how you spend your time. Well, you know, I don't preach anything that I don't, by the grace of God, try to apply to myself. And I decided this week I'm fasting television. So, do I fast TV but look at Facebook? No. I plant flowers when I pull the weeds. I replace that time with the Word of God. I begin to listen to godly music or sermons or whatever the case may be. I make sure that I not only take the land that I've possessed, but I possess the land that I've taken. Number six, what do I need to fast in my life that will help me have the mind of Christ? I kind of already told you what one of mine is. Yours may not be that. Yours may be something else. But you know what? I guarantee you, if there's strongholds in your life, there's an area you need to fast. Fasting is not always about food, is it? Sometimes we could fast our tongue and just shut up. Can't say amen, say ouch. You know, that's what the scriptures say. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, right? So, what do I need to fast in my life that'll help me have the mind of Christ? And finally, number seven, what are you doing for God? Proverbs says, commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts will be established. You know what? You want to see what it looks like. Look for the people in the church that are doing the most, and they will probably have less mental problems. The people who have an outreach, the people who clean the church, the people who do this, the people who do that. And you might find that those people don't have nearly the problems that you have. I'm not saying they're perfect. But when you commit your works to the Lord, your thoughts are established. If you're busy doing the Lord's work, you know, Jesus, 12 years old. We're looking for you. Where have you been? Don't you know we've been worried? Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? You know, he didn't wait for Sunday. Sunday is every day. For some of us, if you make God the center of every day, then every day is God's day. Amen? And Jesus said, I was about my Father's business. You say, well, that's all good for those kind of people, but I have a job. So do I. But you take Jesus with you. Take him with you. I've been called a Bible thumper at my job and some things I can't repeat. All sin, I mentioned this earlier, falls in three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the question is, are you brave enough to walk into that territory? Remember, God said, if your foot goes there, you'll get it. And I say that because many of you have tried to get victory over certain areas of your life, and you failed. And so you've settled in that this is just my thorn in the flesh, like Paul, and it's just become a companion. You just put your arm around it and say, how you doing, buddy? Me and you, we've been through this before. But God says no. See, somewhere along the line, we lose our bravery. We become complacent. And yet God says, have you, like Joshua, said that there is nothing undone of all that the Lord has commanded you? And if you can't honestly say, then you need to man up and say, I'm tired of this albatross in my life. God said, the minute I step my foot in that room in my mind, that where the soles of my feet go, it's mine and not yours, devil. I will possess it in Jesus' name. One up, Nola. And so we watch for these three things in my life: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And we purpose by the grace of God that by the end of our race, when Jesus takes us home, that we can have the testimony of Joshua that I have left nothing undone of all that the Lord has commanded me. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we pray. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, we are weak, but you are strong. We are poor, but you are rich. We are needy, and you have everything we need. If you're here this morning, and you've got a stronghold in your life, maybe you've tried to conquer it, and it has conquered you, but you have been given new insight this morning that God does not want you to just live with it. He wants you to have victory over it. And you need me to pray for you. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just slip your hand up and right back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I want to pray for you this morning. I got a stronghold in my life. I need God to help me. I'm going to wait on you. I'm sure there's others. Don't be afraid. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to do something. We talked about praying for our brothers. Let's just grab hands across the church, across the aisle. Just slide across the aisle. And just grab everybody. Grab at least one hand, if not two. And as we pray, I want you to pray for those people on your right and your left, that they would find the Joshua kind of strength, amen, to have victory over these strongholds. Father, in the name of Jesus, you saw the hands. You know the needs. We're not going to live with these things. We're going to have victory in Jesus' name. Now pray for my brothers and my sisters this morning for victory over the flesh, victory over the mind, victory over besetting sins and strongholds, that we are going to possess the land that you've given us. It's a good land. You made our mind to be the mind of Christ. It is the spiritual ground that you have told us to take, to possess this morning. And by the grace of God, we are possessing it. And so I lift up my brother, I lift up my sister right now. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, undergird them, give them the victory over the flesh, the devil, the world. Help them to take the land. Help them to have victory over it.
Thank you.
Help them to have the mind of Christ. Help them to have victory, Lord, over every area of their lives, to drive out those demons, those thoughts, those strongholds, and to be the men and women of God that will take this world for Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Whatever you want to play, Nola.
Strong name of Jesus.
Yes.
By the blood of the Lamb, we are able to triumph.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we are able to stand. In the power of His Spirit, strength, in the strength of His hand, in the strong name of Jesus, by the precious blood of the Lamb.